Welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs, another evening of very interesting interviews. This is Steve Scheer sitting in for Jeffrey Davis, and we have our business litigation reporter, Mark Furman from Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I am fine, and how are you today?
Doing great.
Well, what are we going to talk about your interview today?
Well, I got a few things I want to talk about. First of all, we've been following the DraftKings FanDuel saga in New York.
Yes.
Which is really just a part of the saga going on nationwide as to whether these companies, which appear to be very successful, constitute illegal gambling. The Attorney General in New York has claimed it's illegal gambling, has sought to enjoin them from participating, from being engaged in business, and actually obtained an injunction against the companies in the lower court, which were appealed.
Mm-hmm.
And so DraftKings and FanDuel were seeking a stay of the injunction, which means basically that they'd be allowed to operate in New York while their appeal is being handled, which can take several months.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, on January 11th, in a very short order, the appellate court granted a stay on behalf of the companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be operating in New York while the appeal is pending. So what this means is that, you know, thousands of players, consumers, will be able to play these, participate in these competitions, and the companies will generate millions of dollars of fees from their business, even after this lower court had issued an injunction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the end of the war for DraftKings and FanDuel, but it's a great victory for them that allows them to continue to operate and gives the folks it does business with a comfort level about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it also gives them an opportunity to see if the New York legislature legalizes it to eliminate any ambiguity about what's legal and what's not legal here. Meanwhile, the saga is playing out here in Massachusetts. The Attorney General Mara Healey came up with some proposed rules, and among them were that, you know, nobody under 21 could participate, and you couldn't have any college sports games. And now there's been a response in the company saying, well, we want to be able to sell have people who are 18 or over participate, and we are, and there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to have college sports as part of the games, given the tremendous interest in college sports. So that's where the fight is playing out here in Massachusetts. No effort is currently being made to you know, to find that these companies are illegal. Our state gambling commission that just has gone through the process of deciding where, you know, the casinos will be and all of that has had a hearing on these games too.
Mm-hmm.
So Massachusetts law is a little different than New York. In fact, many states' laws vary on what constitutes gambling that's illegal or not, and Governor Baker has indicated that he doesn't think these games constitute illegal gambling. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, so many people participate in these games, and there's tremendous interest, and there's a, you know, it's an interesting legal issue that's getting played out all across the country. Mm-hmm. So it's just one aspect of how sports law is such a major part of what's going on in the world of law right now, mm-hmm. between Deflategate and now the DraftKings case, and it's pretty interesting.
It really is. You mentioned Deflategate. Is that ever going to end, do you think?
Well, Deflategate will end, but it won't end for a while.
Right.
The NFL has appealed
right.
The decision of Judge Berman in the Federal District Court in New York, which overturned Roger Goodell's decision mm-hmm. to suspend Tom Brady. That appeal is going to be heard after the Super Bowl,
right.
and a decision will probably be made in, you know, a month or two after oral argument in that case. So what the appeal is really going to determine is whether or not, Brady is going to have to serve a suspension for the first four games of the season that will begin in September 2016. So, case is not dead, but he's certainly not going to be suspended
right.
for the current season or the current playoff
right.
run, which for those of us who are Patriots fans, certainly hope ends up at the Super Bowl. So, but, you know, the issue there, of course, is how much discretion
mm-hmm.
is the commissioner entitled to in making his decision on Deflategate,
mm-hmm.
and you have this very unusual circumstance where the arbitrator named in the collective bargaining agreement is an employee of
mm-hmm.
one of the parties to the arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a case where there's a independent arbitrator, which, you know, traditionally in 99% of situations, parties would agree in a collective bargaining agreement, a neutral party would act as the arbitrator.
Right.
Here you have the employee of one of the parties acting as the arbitrator. So, you know, do they get the same degree of discretion that would be given a traditional arbitrator? Judge Sherman was not too impressed with, the approach taken by the NFL and Roger Goodell in that case. So we'll see what the Second Circuit Court of Appeals said. You know, an interesting issue in Deflategate that, I think has lessons for business owners is, you know, first of all, do you want to have your disputes decided in arbitration
mm-hmm.
or not? If you want them in arbitration, you've got to put it in your agreement. You're allowed to put it in your employment contracts, your contracts with your suppliers, with your customers, with your vendors. You have the potential with arbitration to have a faster, less expensive way to resolve a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
You have a way to eliminate the possibility of a jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
And under recent United States Supreme Court decisions, you have the potential to, as part of an arbitration clause, prohibit class actions in arbitration as well. So just individual claims in arbitration, cheaper, faster, no jury trials, no class actions. If you ought to really think about it, and talk to your lawyer about it if you're a business owner. More generally, you know, where do you want your dispute to get resolved? In the NFL collective bargaining agreement, there's no specific place that's set out in where, if you're reviewing an arbitrator's decision, where it goes to. So what happened is the NFL ran into court on the day of the decision by Roger Goodell and filed in the federal court in New York. The union filed as quickly as they could in Minnesota, where the union has had traditionally great success in appealing decisions by the commissioner of the NFL and player discipline cases and other types of cases. But because the New York case got filed by the NFL a couple hours before the Players Association case got filed in Minnesota, everything ended up in New York, which the NFL viewed as a more favorable forum, I'm sure, which is why they tried to do it. It didn't work out with at the district court level with Judge Sherman. But the point is that, you know, if your agreement says where the case has got to be brought, whether it's arbitration in Boston or, you know, litigation in the state or federal courts in Boston or Massachusetts, you know, usually the courts are going to enforce those things. If your agreement is silent about where the case can be brought and there's no arbitration clause setting a particular location, you may very well be in a position like happened in Deflategate, where there can be a race to the courthouse, because certain places are going to be more convenient for your company than other locations. If you're a company located in the greater Boston area, do you really want to be hauled into court in Alaska or California or Arizona? That's going to increase your cost of defending the case or prosecuting the case. Wouldn't you rather have the case heard down the street where all your witnesses are located, instead of to have to transport them across the country? So, you know, people don't frequently think about these things, but they make a tremendous difference in the cost and your exposure, ultimately, of your company in the event something goes wrong and you end up having a dispute that gets decided in court. Similarly, if you have an arbitration clause, you know, would you rather have it in San Francisco or in Boston if you're located here in Waltham, for example?
Exactly.
So, you know, the time to think about these things is not when the dispute arises. You know, it's too late. Ordinarily, the time to think about it is at the beginning. This is part of a kind of a legal checkup that business owners need to have, you know, make sure their terms and conditions and contractual terms are as they want it. Now, you can't always get everything you want because not everybody has the same bargaining power. Everybody understands that, but there are things that you can do to protect yourself in a lot of situations, and but you got to be proactive and understand the significance of it in ahead of time. So my message is be proactive, consult with competent counsel on your agreement so that if something goes wrong, you're as protected as you can possibly be. Most usually things don't go wrong, but unfortunately, my professional career has demonstrated that, you know, things do go wrong, and then I get involved and try to fix them.
Well, that's
solve the problems for the client.
That is correct, Mark. Well, great. Thank you very much. Very interesting as always. Mark, how does somebody reach you if they want to talk to you?
I can be reached at 617-218-2025 or at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com.
We were listening to Mark Furman, our business litigation reporter from Tarler, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great evening, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Have a great one. We're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back with another story. Thank you.